Text, as we said, to verse 29. David asks the question, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? 17th of March 1951 is a date which will never be forgotten by any Free Presbyterian up and down the land. That day, whenever the first Free Presbyterian Church was founded in Crossgar, that day, whenever many of our founding ministers and members and elders, that was a day they can look to whenever they started to take their stand and to leave and to become a separated witness for Christ. That day and the days that followed, I believe, and I have heard testimonies of it, that many of those founding ministers and members took this verse as their motto. What have I now done? Is there not a cause? They suffered in those days. The early Christians, the early ministers, those that left other denominations, they truly suffered. They were persecuted verbally, physically. They were beat, they were spat on. They were kicked as they went to church. Their businesses, those who were Free Presbyterians, their businesses were shunned up and down the land. But yet they clung to this verse. This verse, I believe, in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 29, I believe that question is as prevalent today as it was in 1951. I believe this verse today is as prevalent as it was to David in the days in which he fought Goliath and in which he found himself there in the camp. This here verse, these questions which are found in it, I earnestly believe are timeless questions. Questions which can be asked by each and every Christian in the days of David, in the days of the Reformation, right through to the early days of the Free Presbyterian Church, right through to today. This is what I want us to focus our attention on this morning. It's these timeless questions which each and every Christian must ask of themselves. The first point which we want to look at this morning is the attacks which cause these questions. The attacks which cause these questions. You look with me at the verse 10 of 1 Samuel 17. And Goliath here, he's standing before the army of Israel, and the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Verse 23, he does it again. Day by day, Goliath came and he stood before the armies of Israel. And he defied the armies of Israel, and that meant he defied Almighty God himself. Not only was David attacked by the foe and the enemy, but notice as well there is two attacks. There is attack within his own camp. We see that in the verse 28. It's his brother Eliab, and he says to him, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? And here was David, and he was faced with two different attacks. There was a collective attack, and there was a more personal attack. That attack, the collective attack, was against, as we said, the entire armies and the entire nation of Israel. That nation of God's chosen people, the nation which God had brought up out of Egypt, had brought across the Red Sea, through the wilderness for 40 years, into the Promised Land. That nation which God had helped to defeat the Canaanite armies, that nation which had saw the walls of Jericho falling down flat. And here now was a man and an enemy attacking him. And this enemy which stood before the armies of Israel that day was no ordinary enemy. He was a colossus. A giant in stature. In modern day measurements, he measured 9 foot 9 inches tall. I'm not even 6 foot. I'm less than 6 foot, so add on at least another 3 foot above me, and probably another meter above me would be close enough. 9 foot 9 inches. That coat of mail which he wore to protect himself, for the old people here it measured or weighed 125 pounds. For the younger ones in the audience like myself who don't understand the pounds and the ounces, it weighed 8 stone 9. 8 and a half stone. A colossus was standing before the children of Israel. And humanly speaking, this would have been an absolutely terrifying sight. Just imagine all the wee army men, and they're all the same, roughly the same size as me, maybe a wee bit taller, some a wee bit smaller. This guy's across from him and he's defying them. He's over 9 foot tall. 1951, the early Free Presbyterian Church was faced with colossus as well. A man by the name of J.E. Davy, Presbyterian man, became moderator of the Presbyterian Church, did massive problems and massive harm to the gospel of Christ. The rise of the ecumenical movement as well was massive in those days, the World Council of Churches. If you've never looked into the Free Presbyterian history, I encourage you to do so. You want to hear two of the best sermons you'll ever hear about the early days, I encourage you to go on to Sermon Audio, look up Dr. S.B. Cook and Dr. Alan Cairns, Free Presbyterianism Why, and you will hear just exactly what they had to face in those days. Right through the ages, not only in the early days of 1951, but from the apostles right through to modern day, the Christian church has always been attacked. The early apostles, once Christ had risen from the dead and ascended up into glory, the apostles were scattered and were persecuted and were driven out of Jerusalem. The Emperor Nero slaughtered thousands of them. Spanish Inquisition in the medieval times slaughtered thousands. St. Bartholomew Day Massacre in France, and the Roman Catholic Queen, she got all the Huguenots together for one big wedding. She slaughtered over 70,000 of them. Right through to modern day, we can look and we can see up and down Europe and across the world the persecution which Christians have had to face. Just like David had to stand before Goliath, just like all the other Reformation and Christians from Christ's time right through to now have had to stand against great evils, just as the early founding members of our church had to stand against great evils, so too in this day, in this generation, do we have to stand against great evils. You think even what we have seen over these last number of days, the news in Tunisia. You think of what those ISIS people have been doing up and down the Middle East, in Syria and Iraq. And to be honest, we have never found out the full story of what all they've done. We only know what the BBC or the ITV or Sky or whatever news broadcast we listen to. And more than likely, they don't even know everything that's happened. These great evils, and they're murdering thousands upon thousands of people, including thousands upon thousands of Christians. And all over the world, Islam and Islamic radicals are doing so much harm and so much evil. Then you think of the rise of secularism right across the entire world. And how even in these last number of days, the Supreme Court in America has come out and has said now that gay marriage should be allowed in every single state. You think of even the rise of atheism right across the world as well. Nobody wants to know or to mention the name of God. Nobody wants to be here and to be witness or stand for God. Nobody wants anything to do with the Bible. You think of the different rises and the different attacks which we are find ourselves on, even in our own land. The rise of secularism, the rise of atheism, the rise of sodomy. All these different foes that are great and mighty and have much power behind them. And I'm not standing here this morning and I'm not saying the murdering of ISIS is on the same level as atheism or secularism. It's God that knows the difference between sins. Our young people learn in the shorter catechism some sins in themselves and by reason of several aggravations are more heinous in the sight of God than others. In other words, God knows which sins are worse than others. But let me tell you this, it doesn't matter if they have different ideologies. It doesn't matter if they have different agendas. There's one thing that they have in common. They're all driven by the devil. Every single one of them, whether it be the murdering side or the atheist side or whatever, behind them all is the devil. And here was David, part of the nation of Israel. And David stands here, he's just here visiting as such, here to bring supplies. And David is attacked just the same as everybody else. Goliath stands, this collective attack on the entire nation of Israel. And we may say in this land today, well, personally down here in Londonderry, we're not being attacked. Nobody's touching us. But surely we have to stand with David and say, well, if our brothers and sisters in Christ are being attacked somewhere else in the world, then surely that is attack on us as well. I mentioned there was the two attacks. He faced the collective attack and he faced the personal attack. It came from his own side. That verse 28 which we read, it's his brother Eliab. And he comes and he attacks him. And he ridicules him and he starts belittling him. And he's saying to him, what are you doing here? Where's your little sheep? What about your little job? Why are you not caring for what you're supposed to be doing? You're just here being nosy. And sadly, as we look through history, we look in our own land, and how often the attacks come from supposed Christians. How often when we take our stand for Christ, it's other denominations which were once faithful to the blood and to the book that suddenly turn their back and call us out of date, behind the times, medieval, just like Eliab did to David. And truly we can say this morning, and I'm not here preaching doom and gloom, we're here preaching the reality of what we face today. We have foes in front of us just like David had Goliath. There is foes all around us just like David had Eliab. Notice secondly with me not only the attacks which caused the question, but look at also that personal aspect to the question. At verse 29, what have I now done? What have I now done? Remember at this stage, David, as we've said, he was only here visiting his brothers. His father had sent him with supplies, with bread, with cheese. He was only there to see how they were getting on and to bring a report to his father so his father knew exactly how his other three sons were keeping. David here, he's not trained in warfare. He's not a soldier. He's a shepherd. He's not there with his armor on. He's not there with his sword, with his spear, with his shield. No, he's but a shepherd. And yet when the attack comes, David asks the question of himself, what have I done? David doesn't turn to his brothers or to the other soldiers. He doesn't go along to that captain in the regiment which he was meant to bring the 10 cheeses to. No. He doesn't go and he doesn't ask them, well, what are you going to do? Where's your best man? Come on, get him across there. Remember, you are the army of Israel. You are the children of God. We can defeat this man. We've God on our side. No, David stands and David says, what have I now done? He questions himself. He looks at himself. Child of God here this morning, this is a question which each and every one of us must ask of ourselves. We can't look to others. Each and every one of us who is saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb, we have to look at ourselves and ask the question, what have I done? Ask that question. I had to ask myself this question. I ask myself this question continuously. What have I done? Whenever we see our land, this nation which we love, when we see it growing darker and darker, what have we done? We see the news reports and ISIS are killing and slaughtering thousands. What have we done? We see even what's happened in Tunisia. You hear those accounts of people just there on holiday, they're relaxing. Suddenly two men walk onto the beach and start opening fire at random. They don't care who they hit. What have we done? We see Christians being taken to court in our own land. We see them being taken to court, being persecuted for their faith. What have we done? We see Pastor McConnell, he's now being sent off to be put to court for preaching a sermon in his own pulpit, not even in open air. What have we done? We look round in our churches, we see all empty pews. We see the balconies that need to be filled. What have we done? You may be sitting there and asking the question, well, preacher, what can I do? Preacher, what can I do? I'm not physically fit. I can't go out and start and wrap doors. I can't stand in open airs. Preacher, I'm uneducated. I can't stand and debate with somebody from a different viewpoint. Preacher, I can't speak. Moses couldn't speak. Moses was a stutterer. And he gave his life to the Lord. Our early forefathers in this denomination will testify that they came up against great theologians, great professors. Our early forefathers openly testified that they were unlearned men. But yet God used them. This day I'm not standing here saying, well, I'm an educated man. I'm not. I did my GCSEs, my A-levels, but I hated school. I barely passed. I've never went to university. I've no degrees. I've no education in how to speak or how to argue or debate with anybody. I'm nothing. But there is certain things which each and every Christian can do. Doesn't matter what age you are. Doesn't matter your background, your education. Doesn't matter what your nerves are or anything else. There's three things that each and every Christian can do. Pray and 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 pray. You know that prayer meeting this morning, it was a blessed time in that room. To hear children of God there in that room praying unto the Lord. But we need to be all at prayer. Pray in our homes. Pray in our car. Every time we turn the news on and we see more and more sin and more attacks against the Bible, we need to be praying there and there. We need to be down on our knees, praying. You haven't got the physical ability to be out knocking doors or to be out standing in an outreach or an open air. Praise God, it doesn't matter if you're in a bed of sickness or you're in a wheelchair, whatever your state is, you can still pray. Even if you can't get out of bed, you can still pray. Child of God, this morning, may we be found in prayer. We can't turn the tide of ourselves. But praise God, we have one who stands as the captain of our host, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that mediator in heaven between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So firstly, pray. Secondly, be faithful. Be faithful to the blood and to the book. No matter what comes your way, no matter what attacks may come or what people may say, be faithful. 1 Samuel in the chapter 2 and the verse 30, what does God say? He says, "Them that honor me, I will honor." Therefore, child of God, be faithful. David knew he wasn't much. David knew he was just a shepherd. And yet David was the faith to stand and to say, "What have I done?" David knew he had the Lord. 1 Corinthians in the chapter 1, the verse 27 is a beautiful verse. It says, "God have chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise." In other words, it doesn't matter what we're like. It doesn't matter what our backgrounds are. God can use us if we're faithful. God can use us to do great and wondrous and mighty things for Him if we are but faithful. Thirdly, pray, be faithful, stand for God. Martin Luther was the one that coined the phrase and said it himself whenever he stood against the entire Roman Catholic Church. He said the words, "Here I stand, I can do no other." May that be our cry each and every day. Here I stand, I can do no other. 1 Corinthians in the chapter 16 and verse 13, what does it say? It says, "Stand fast in the faith, be strong." That's three simple things which every Christian should be doing their utmost to be and to do. Then notice thirdly and finally, not only is there the attacks which cause the question, the personal aspect to the question, but then look with me, the triumphant response to the questions. David, what he said here whenever he cried, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Those words were heard. And those words were relayed to the King Saul. And Saul calls for David, and David is willing and ready to go. David says, "Look, I'm going to go forward for Christ." Yes, he's 9 foot 9 inches, so many cubits tall. "I'm but a shepherd boy. But I've got the Lord on my side." And here David, and he goes forward, and if you look at the verse 45 to 47, David comes near to the Philistine, and the Philistine mocks him and calls him and says, "Am I but a dog?" The great Goliath, and he's this army of Israel, supposedly a great army of God, and they send forward a little shepherd boy. And Goliath goads him, attacks him, and in the verse 45, David says to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." David takes his stand for Christ. And that day, David defeated the great giant himself. And always remember, child of God, when we take our stand for Christ, when we come up against the foes and the attacks and the wiles and the evils of the devil, we are not alone. David found himself here in the valley of Elah. There were 4 people in that valley that day. On one side there was Goliath, and in front of him was his armor bearer, that man that came with him to carry his great shield. And then on the other side there was David, but there was one with David: God. David didn't go and fight the giant Goliath on his own. No, David had God with him. How do we know this? What has God promised to his children? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Every time that we stand and we have to take a stand for God, whether it be in our workplace, whether it be outside of our home, whether it be on behalf of this church or whatever, Christian, I can tell you with an assurance today that you are not alone, because why? You have Emmanuel, God with us. You have God no matter where you go. Joshua was promised it in Joshua chapter 1, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That same verse was repeated in Hebrews 13 and 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Why? Because we have Emmanuel. Praise God this morning, no matter what comes our way, no matter what attacks come in this land, whether we be persecuted, whether we be tried, whether the great adversaries come at us physically or whatever, we already have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians in the chapter 15 and the verse 57, it says, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what comes, child of God, when we take our stand for Christ, we are not alone. And always remember, as it reminds us in Joshua, we find there in the end of Joshua chapter 5, when Joshua is standing outside Jericho, and in front of him is the great city of Jericho itself. Chapter 6 and the verse 1, it tells us that the city is straightly shut up. That great city with those massive walls, the houses built in the walls. Joshua stand there with this great force and this great trial right in front of his eyes. And then what does it tell us he does? The end of chapter 5. Joshua looks up. He's not alone. The captain of the host is there with him. Child of God, this morning when we take our stand for Christ, always remember you're not alone. Pray. Be faithful. Stand for God. Rejoice that we already have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord bless his word to each and every one of our hearts.